This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Happy Thanksgiving. It's Take Command Podcast. Logan Paulson there. Craig Hoffman here. We're not the first to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Chris Berman did that, Logan.
Oh, did he? Already?
Yeah, that's his thing. Every year. Let me be the first. Oh, sorry. Let me be the first to wish you. Yeah, you know, that's how Chris Berman rolls. Here on Take Command today, we got a Tennessee Titans, Washington Commanders preview for you. And then we have a little bit of fact or fiction at the end. There's some kind of interesting thought lines around the Commanders offense and almost leftovers. Like we got done recording on Tuesday, Logan, and I immediately was like, here's two other big things. And I thought of a couple more that I wish we had talked about. But that podcast was already an hour long. So good thing we do at least two a week. So we'll get to some of those thoughts in a second. We're actually going to start with the Commanders offense. Now it matches up with a very talented Tennessee defense, specifically their front, Logan. Jeffrey Simmons, he is the highest percent run stuffer in the league as an individual. They, in general, do not allow a lot of positive rushes. So as this Washington running game tries to get back on track, how do they do it?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, because in addition to Jeffrey Simmons, they also have Tavondre Sweat, the guy from Texas, the rookie, and you know, I'm sure you've seen like Baldy doing his breakdowns on him, because he's kind of an interesting character. You know, he's 6'5", he's 365, probably closer to 380, to be honest, but he moves really quick. He's got some good pass rush ability, and it is kind of a devastating duo on the interior. And then the edge guys, you know, they've got the they got Harold Landry III, who is actually got some juice as a pass rusher, and then Arden Key, who I think was a former first round pick and has kind of slowly revitalized his career as he's gained a little bit of weight and become like a pretty good edge setting defensive end. And so they're a base 3-4 defense. Their defensive coordinator comes from Baltimore, and like if you think about Baltimore, they have this, you know, three down spacing with the edge guys, so like zone read becomes a little bit more challenging because those edge guys are a little farther away. They have more time to see the read and the mesh, and then they're big inside. They're really big. So to me, I don't know if this is the best week to kind of think about like, hey, we're going to assert ourselves in the run game. Now, I think you can do that. You can prioritize it in the week and say, hey, let's get after it. We're going to do this stuff. But I think you need to have some contingencies and just different ways of getting to it. Like I think the sub runs, you know, so sub being like getting in like 11 personnel and then trying to run the ball out of that, because they do tend to take Sebastian Joseph, who's kind of their 4-I, who's another big body guy, off the field in those looks and bring in a nickel player. So I'd rather run against the four down spacing, I think, and then, you know, try to get gashes that way. Now, I will say, you know, if you're running GT or some of your bounce stuff or some of your pin pull stuff, that can be better versus 3-4 spacing. But you're going to have some physical, like some physically difficult matchups, I think, on the interior. And couple that with the fact that their linebackers, you know, they're not grading very well, but like Kenneth Murray and Jerome Baker, man, are they fast to the football.
Yeah.
They're fast to the football, man. They are downhill. They're screaming the football. And they show up quick on run fits. And so I think like that's something. And then you couple that with their free safeties, Mike Brown, Armani Hooker. They're both, again, pretty good run fit players. So they strike me as a team that's kind of in the vein of Baltimore, and that they want to stop the run. And they want to make sure that you know that they want to stop the run. And teams have not had great success running the football on them this year. However, like, you got to play the game. And so, like, what's the scheme? What's the wrinkle? What advantages can you find to kind of again, put these guys in a tough spot in terms of stopping the run. But in terms of just general, like, 1,000-foot view, looking at their personnel, looking at our personnel, looking at how what they want to be, this seems like a week you want to come out and think maybe pass to run, you know, like maybe some quick bubble screens, some lateral stuff to see if you can get some get them out of, like, their base kind of identity and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, they – well, the thing is, though, even with some of that stuff, is, like, the speed is so fast, and it shows up in Tennessee – or I should say Houston tried to run some of that stuff, and they got a couple plays that were, like, solid. Nothing – I'm trying to remember their explosives. I don't think they had a big one on a screen. It's certainly not the first half where I was able to watch the entirety of the All-22 and skim the rest. But they definitely were able to get some quick game stuff. And that's where I feel like Washington potentially could attack. And obviously we've been talking about that. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more later in the show as well, of can they replace some of their run calls, some of their screen calls with just some simple, like, hey, Zach Ertz, run 4 yards, turn around, bang. Okay. Yeah. Now we're in 2nd and 6, which is all we wanted to get out of our run anyway. And can that maybe loosen up? And even, like, I mean, that game last week that they played, Tennessee, is a wild football game.
Wild
game. You know, there was a bunch of them. Obviously, Washington's was crazy at the end, but, like, this one was crazy at the start. There's an 80-yard kickoff return to open the game for Houston, and then on the very first play, C.J. Stroud throws a touchdown, which is a pretty simple, like, they just – the corner gets confused on playing outside of no right wide receiver, two tight end side, and loses the tight end up the scene, or up the rail on zone coverage. And it's like, you do stuff like that, can you use some of your formations and put these guys in a bind? But I do think that the idea of running out of some more spread personnel, even just 11, and then throwing out of some of your heavier stuff, it's something that they started to play with a little bit last week. Did Washington, did Cliff, and they have at times this season. But I do think against this defense, like, that subversion of tendency is probably, and subversion of kind of expectation is really important, because they're so solid if you just do what they expect you to do.
Yeah, and I think you know, looking back at the personnel, like, which we just did before we got on here, of the last game versus Dallas, I feel like they kind of tried to be Baltimore a little bit. You know, they ran a little bit more 21, a little bit more 13, a little bit more 12 than they've run the last couple of weeks, which, you know, I guess makes sense, because Baltimore had a lot of success running the football on Dallas. And so you're kind of saying we have similar personnels, we got similar, you know, physicality. We got Bates, who's a really good blocking wise, and it's a pretty good fullback analogous, right? And obviously that stuff didn't hit exactly the same way in terms of efficiency. But I do think that, like, they showed kind of how they want to play 3-4 teams when they played Philly. And versus Philly, they kind of were like, we're spread you out a little bit more, we're getting to some different stuff. I will say the thing maybe to think about here is when you get in 3-4 personnel, obviously attacking the edges is a little bit more challenging because of the position. But sometimes play action, sometimes boots, like where you're cracking that edge man, can be really effective getting him out of the perimeter. And that might be a way just early on in the game, right, to kind of, again, subvert their expectation. They just watch what you did against Philly. And I do think this is a little bit more favorable than Philly in terms of the interior personnel. While I think Tennessee has really good interior personnel, like, Devondre Sweat is a little bit of a slower twitch kind of guy. You know, he's 380. He's going to be slower than, you know, Jalen Carter, for example. Jeffrey Simmons is a little bit twitchy, but not quite that Jalen Carter guy. So do those back blocks, do those pin pulls, do they play a little bit better versus these personnel just because of the matchup, as opposed to kind of trying to sink double teams and move them off the spot, which they do seem like they're very, very good at breaking and splitting up. So I think some of their base runs will be more effective than they were against Philly out of that spread stuff, but also maybe get them in their heavy personnel, maybe get them to be a little bit less athletic and say, hey, Ben Sinnott, our third tight end, is more athletic than your 4i. So, like, you're going to have less good coverage players on the field. Can we maximize some of those matchups and relationships from a pass game standpoint, but also as ways to kind of give us good edges and get to the perimeter? So I think that's kind of the way, just thinking about it right now, I would probably approach it, is I'd probably do a little bit of a mixture of both. And kind of rely on my athletes at the tight end spots to kind of help me create some of these advantages.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And especially once you start to look at some of the, like, the next gen stats, you know, previews, things like that. It's actually kind of funny, because I just don't know what to make of some of these numbers anymore, because Washington's offense has been different the last couple weeks than it was earlier in the season. But you know, Washington number five and on the year in terms of efficiency on QB scrambles. Tennessee is 28th. Yeah. So it does feel like that's an opportunity, both of they're not quite as disciplined or not quite as locked up in some of their pass rush stuff where clearly quarterbacks have gotten out. But also, like, technically, if you boot and then the quarterback takes off running because it's covered downfield, that's a scramble as well. And so getting Jaden those opportunities to just be on the edge and make a decision and either, you know, hey, man, eyes up. You did a great job of this early in the season. It's there. Throw it. If not, put your head down and go. Like, I think those are great. Rushing outside the tackles, they're actually 20th in inefficiency. Yeah. So attacking the edges hard structurally, schematically on paper, apparently it's a little bit easier, in actual practice. So I think there are some abilities here where you have like a big physical football team. Can you beat them with speed? And that seems to be kind of the direction that you think that Washington should head.
Yeah, I do think so. And again, I think the other thing is one of the things when you bring Tavondre Sweat on the field, like he's having a great year, like a really good year for a nose guard. He's kind of already playing himself into that top five nose guard type player, which is fantastic for a rookie. And I'm sure Tennessee's thrilled with him. But he's big and he's a little slow. And so like when you get that double team on the nose, like when the slide's working to him and you got a one-on-one with Jeffrey Simmons, like the pocket has a huge crease to whatever side that he's on because of how he rushes. Now, he does a really good job of collapsing the pocket, so I'm not saying this is all the time, but unlike Pittsburgh, unlike Philly, where they've got these really dynamic pass rushers that rush with discipline and kind of make this little cocoon, there are pretty large creases. And we'll talk about this more in a second, but they run these exotic zone pressures that Mike McDonald in Baltimore really popularized last year, where it's like you have your known rushers, which are your four down guys, and you have your kind of unknown rushers, which would be like linebackers, safeties, nickels, whatever you want to do. And he'll have looks where they're all kind of near the line of scrimmage, and then all of a sudden you'll drop out, you know, two defensive tackles, and you'll rush the nickel and rush a linebacker with the defensive ends pinching inside. And it's just an unusual pattern, and usually that leads to a free rusher. It plays havoc for quarterbacks and it plays havoc for offensive line identification. It's really good stuff. And so when you watch, you're like, wow, this is tough. They got to rep this a lot this week. However, when they do that, the droppers usually turn their back to the quarterback to get to their spot. And when you're looping, if you catch the loop, there are big creases. So I do think that maybe is kind of one of the reasons why they're not struggling well against scrambling quarterbacks. And I do think that when you watch the film, you're like, okay, there is space here for Jaden to step up and do some of the things that he was doing early in the season. And we've talked about this on the preview show, just finding efficiency, right? Where do we find efficiency? And one of the easiest ways to do that is with quarterback scrambles. Like I hearken back to 2000, I think it was 21 with Daniel Jones, and how like that offense, or 22, when that offense was elevated just because he was the most efficient scrambling quarterback in the NFL. So they'd be in second and five, he'd get a first down scrambling. Think about that. Like if he's able to get back to some of that stuff that he did early in the season where he's just getting first downs with his legs and not even explosive runs, I think that opens up an opportunity to kind of for the offense to stay on the field, Cliff to get in the playbook, them to get in a more no huddle. And so I do think that's something really, really interesting to keep an eye on for sure.
Let me ask you a quick question about no huddle. This is off script, so I'm sorry if you don't have an answer ready. But yeah. I feel like they have like continued to run their no huddle, but they have done it a lot more while subbing, which slows it down. Mm-hmm. Like, is there an even, and obviously you don't want to go too fast just to go three and out, and we've talked about that before on the show, but like, I do kind of think that there is another gear that this offense can go into from the no huddle standpoint and use some of their versatility where they can hit different formations without changing personnel and thus leaving the defense on the field. Because I feel like there are times where they're, you know, standing over the ball, they sub quickly and the umpire is just standing there being like, sorry, you guys can't run a play yet. Defense is subbing, whatever. And you lose some of the advantage of the no huddle. And so when we talk about going tempo for them, should they kind of kick it, or could they? Obviously they could, but like what's the benefit or the drawback of kicking it into a higher gear without subbing so that you're really kind of putting that pressure on the defense and they obviously can't change personnel themselves or risk getting a 12-man penalty?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and it's a subtle distinction because they do go no huddle like basically all the time, and it's really interesting watching during the game because Bram will be like, oh, they're going no huddle, and you know, London will like abridge his analysis because we're trying to make sure the call's out. But in reality, they're still taking, you know, whatever, there's 10 seconds left on the play clock. They're not like rushing in the same way you would think of a no huddle group, right? They're kind of in like a muddle huddle. They get lined up. They signal the play. The huddle is basically happening at the line of scrimmage. And so what I would say is that they do have multiple gears, multiple speeds where they operate. Like you see them in like 2 minute situations where they're really rolling. Like they can get a playoff in about 10 seconds, you know, which is really good.
Right.
And it's a big chunk of their normal offense. So I do think that that's something that, you know, I think is really interesting and something that I would like to talk to Cliff about is why do you make the decision to basically operate at a huddle tempo in a no huddle setting? Because you're losing the advantages of the hurry up or the no huddle, right? In a huddle, you can get it communicated, you get the cadence very clear, we can make sure everyone knows what they're doing, formation. That's why you huddle, to get that communication lined up, right? When you do it in this other way, not only are you giving the defense an opportunity to kind of mess with your offense because they can hold the cadence now, they can hold the snap, they can do all these different things, you lose the advantage of tempo. So why not make a decision to sometimes huddle and sometimes be on the scrimmage? And they do huddle. It's not like they do that all the time. But I think the offense is the most devastating when, we've talked about this before, when they operate in that kind of 10 to 15 second execution mode, right? Because, right, again, that's when you get the advantages that we've talked about with no huddle, where you get simpler defensive calls. They can't sub. They get big personnel stuck on the field or whatever it is. And I think that's the kind of stuff that I think the offense is really, really good. And you've seen them use it in multiple different ways. And I think it's cool because, like, they've done it with 13 personnel where they've stayed and they've gone no huddle with 13. They've done it with 12. They've done it with 11. So they can do it out of multiple different personnel groupings and kind of stick the defense. So that's something. But I feel like, and this is, again, I need to talk to Cliff or talk to Dan or somebody about it, but it feels like to me they like to do it after the first down. Once they get the first down, then they start rolling. And it's kind of to that point you were talking about. But maybe this is a week where you say, hey, we're going to start early and just let it rip, and hopefully we get a first down and stay on the field and don't have the fastest three and out in football.
Right. And I think that fans will often, and I used to definitely do this too, I think before I started to study it more and you start to realize the layers and levels to it, like, oh, they're so good in 2 minute. Well, they run 2 minute all the time. Yeah. It's like, well, defenses don't run their 2 minute defense all the time, which is maybe an offseason project in terms of defensive philosophy. It's like, hey, offenses are really effective in this 2 minute when we run this simple coverage stuff. Why do we do that? But we can talk about that a different time. But I do think that there is, like, that's why you go super up tempo, is to get that simplicity, and you can get it out of teams. And so when you watch them hit that drive where Jaden's 7 of 7 and then finishes with a touchdown to Ertz before the Turpin kick return touchdown last week, it's like, where's that been all game?
Yeah.
And, you know, part of it, again, I think too, is the mentality of like, hey, Jaden, we're ripping it here. And one other game that I watched of Tennessee was against Indianapolis earlier in the year. I actually flipped it on hoping that Anthony Richardson was going to play to watch some quarterback run stuff. And instead it's Joe Flacco back there, and Flacco
ripping it,
loves to be aggressive, but he also is on time. Like, Joe is going to throw the football and he's going to attack. And there are a lot of throws that Joe throws at dudes' feet, but those dudes are open. And so I do think that if you're decisive against this defense, you can be effective. And so whether it's no huddle or not, Jaden carrying that mentality is really important. And by the way, Commander's offense is number 3 in the league in terms of efficiency without play action. And Tennessee's defense is 17th. For whatever it's worth, passing with play action, Commanders are 18th in the league. Tennessee is 3rd. So your bait, like, I do think that the keepers and the boots and stuff are probably a good idea this week. But your base play action stuff is going to be a lot harder to run against Tennessee. That they're one of the best in the league against it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's because it's kind of the same thing. Like, when you turn your back to the defense and they've got all these zone droppers, like, where are they? What's going on? It makes it a little bit more challenging. I do think they're good at transitioning to rushes also off of play action. You know, like, they're, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is very good, obviously. But yeah, I do think and I think the other interesting thing that when you look at how they played Miami, because Miami basically runs the same defense in preseason, you know what I mean? Like they were a little bit more up-tempo, a little bit quicker, a little bit more spread out, right? So I think probably something similar here, right, is in terms of formula. And I don't think they're going to do all hurry up. They're not going to do all heavy personnel. They're not going to do all play action. They're going to intermix stuff. But I think what I would look for early in this game is if I'm Cliff, I think the most important thing is taking care of yourself, right? And so can you string together five consecutive plays? Can we go five consecutive plays and not be in third and long? And I think that should be the goal. And I'm sure like he's kind of at the drawing board this week thinking like, what is Jade like? Where is he most comfortable? Where are we at our best? And that's something that is changing, I think, for the offense. I think early in the season, like we've talked about, like they were really efficient running the football with the running back. And now as the offensive lines got banged up a little bit, and that stuff's not as viable. Are there what's our new thing that we can hang our hat on? And again, you're not going to abandon the run. No one's saying that. But where do we find that extra 2.5 yards of efficiency? Because I was talking to Keim, and he basically said they went from like 5.8 yards averaging a rush with a running back over the first 8 games to 3.2. You got to find 2 yards of efficiency here somehow. So what's the key to that? And I think that to me is the crux. Like, you know, obviously Tennessee is very good up front. They play these odd kind of zone pressure coverage structures. They're fast in the football. But you're one of the best offensive coordinators in football. What's the wrinkle that gives you that extra little bit of efficiency that lets you stay on the field and score points? Because like other teams we've played this year, and we're probably going to talk about this right now, is their offense is not very good. It's not very efficient. It's not very efficient, let me say that. And so if you can score points and put Will Levis in a situation where they're not running the football, this could blow up in their face immediately. So if I'm Cliff, I'm nose to the grindstone thinking, what is the way we score first? And how do we continue to put pressure on them offensively? Because, again, that's going to put our defense in a really good spot.
Now, we've got a couple of ideas, slash many of you listening and watching have had a bunch of ideas. So I'm going to take some of those, run them by Logan in a fact or fiction a little later in the show on the Commanders offense. But let's talk about this Tennessee offense first.